Live from NPR News, I'm Korva Coleman. President-elect Joe Biden is going to nominate California Attorney General Javier Becerra to be his Health and Human Services Secretary. From member station KQED in San Francisco, Scott Schaefer has more.
As California's Attorney General, Becerra has filed about 100 lawsuits against the Trump administration on issues ranging from the environment to immigration, LGBT rights, and health care. He's been a staunch defender of the Affordable Care Act and helped get the bill passed as a member of Congress representing Los Angeles. If confirmed by the Senate, Becerra, whose mother was born in Mexico and immigrated to the U.S., will become the first Latino to serve as Secretary of Health and Human Services, a huge agency with roles in managing the pandemic, distributing vaccines, and shoring up the nation's health care system. He was named Attorney General by then-Governor Jerry Brown after Kamala Harris was elected to the U.S. Senate. For NPR News, I'm Scott Schaefer in San Francisco.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp says he will not call a special election to try to overturn President-elect Joe Biden's victory in that state. He said it would violate state law. There was a debate between two Georgia candidates seeking one of the open U.S. Senate seats in the state. Reverend Raphael Warnock, a Democrat, urged Republican Kelly Loeffler to declare that Biden was the winner.
Here we are several weeks after the election, and Kelly Loeffler continues to cast doubt on an American Democratic election.
Loeffler again refused to admit that Biden won.
It's unfortunate that the focus is on a debate about who won the election when this process is still playing out, and President Trump has every right to every legal recourse.
A second debate between the other two candidates in Georgia's Senate election did not occur. That's because incumbent Republican David Perdue refused to debate Democrat John Ossoff. Ossoff spoke anyway while Perdue's empty podium was shown. The Trump administration is moving quickly to authorize oil drilling in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge before President-elect Joe Biden takes office. From Alaska Public Media, Tegan Hanlon reports from Anchorage. Officials are expected to release more information today on drilling leases.
The federal government is expected to soon detail exactly which pieces of the refuge's 1.5 million acre coastal plain it will offer in the upcoming oil and gas lease sale. The sale date is set for January 6th. Conservation and tribal groups are blasting the Trump administration for rushing to squeeze in a sale in its final weeks. The coastal plain is home to migrating caribou, polar bears, and other wildlife, and it's also thought to sit on top of billions of barrels of oil. In 2017, a Republican-led Congress opened the coastal plain to drilling after decades of protections. For NPR News, I'm Tegan Hanlon in Anchorage.
This is NPR News. President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, has tested positive for the coronavirus. President Trump tweeted the news, and Giuliani also tweeted to thank friends for their support. News reports say Giuliani has been hospitalized in Washington, D.C. The former New York City mayor is 76. He's traveled a lot in recent weeks. He has been trying to get courts and state lawmakers to subvert the presidential election results. The family of the late children's book author Roald Dahl is apologizing for his anti-Semitic comments. NPR's Joel Rose has more.
Roald Dahl is revered as the author of classic children's books, including James and the Giant Peach and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But Dahl, who died in 1990, is also remembered for his outspoken anti-Semitism. He once told an interviewer that, quote, there is a trait in the Jewish character that does provoke animosity, and that, quote, even a stinker like Hitler didn't just pick on them for no reason. Dahl's family and the company that controls his legacy posted a brief statement on the author's website apologizing for the, quote, lasting and understandable hurt his remarks have caused. They are incomprehensible to us, the statement reads, and stand in marked contrast to the man we knew. Joel Rose, NPR News.
The Venezuelan government of President Nicolas Maduro claims that it has decisively won congressional elections that would give Maduro control of Venezuela's last branch of government that he doesn't yet dominate. Opposition leaders boycotted the vote. The U.S. and several of its allies recognize opposition leader Juan Guaido as the leader of Venezuela. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.